I'm on the line with Tamara Herman from Victoria, British Columbia. Tamara is a member of No 2010 Victoria. Tamara, welcome to No One's Legal Radio.
Thanks, Jackie.
Tamara, the torch relay, the Olympic torch relay, started in your town, Victoria, and you and many, many other people were able to not just show your opposition to it, but actually disrupt this torch relay, despite all the hype about security, despite all the hype about preventing people from getting near the torch, despite all the surveillance and police interventions. You were able to successfully do so. So could you describe for our listeners how you were able to do so? What happened on October 30th as that Bombardier-made torch made its way through the streets of Victoria?
Well, we really had no idea what to expect from the outset. The torch, we knew at the end of the day, was going to go to the legislature building, and there were police barricades all along the building as well as along the torch relay route. So as we were going into our demonstration on the 30th, we really had no idea what to expect when we got to the torch. And because of timing, we kind of had a long and winding stake march through Victoria. And we stopped for a little while at one of the busiest intersections of the city where a big Royal Bank branch is located. And RBC, of course, is one of the Olympics key sponsors as well as one of the major investors in the tar sands. So we occupied the intersection for about half an hour, which basically paralyzed the city. And then after, we went up to blockade the torch. And interestingly, there were a lot of people kind of lining the roads waiting for the torch to come, but there just wasn't very much security. So we were able to walk down the route. And according to the information we had, the organizers ended up putting the torch out, sticking it in a van, and driving it to another area, and then taking a back route to the legislature. So we were able to disrupt the torch relay.
The irony of that measure was that's exactly what happened in places like San Francisco and Paris 2 years ago when the torch relay was being disrupted by Free Tibet protesters. And now it's happening here in Canada. Talk more about the issues that are motivating you and others to disrupt this relay and to use this opportunity and all the international attention focused on this torch to raise other issues.
Well, most of us organizing here on the West Coast, on Coast Salish territories, are organizing under the banner No Olympics on Stolen Native Land. And that's because most of the land in British Columbia still has not been through any kind of treaty process. It's still unceded territories. And so, of course, a lot of us are working with different First Nations groups on land restitution and decolonization issues. And that has been a major focus of our campaign. But, of course, on the other side, we have Phil Fontaine working for RBC and the four host nations up in Whistler signing contracts with the Olympics to host the Games in February. So there's definitely a lot of complexities, but that's still one of the key messages that we're organizing around. Other than that, I think one of the reasons we were able to mobilize as many as we did in Victoria is because there's so much outrage over government expenditures. Both Victoria and Vancouver have a very disproportionate level of local poverty. Here in Victoria, we have upwards of 1,500 homeless people, and this is a town with a population of 70,000, and we only have 400 shelter beds. So there's definitely a crisis on the streets in Victoria right now. We haven't had a fixed site needle exchange since it was closed down 16 months ago. The BC government has made all sorts of cutbacks in areas like support to victims of domestic violence, the arts, and even amateur sports, of all things. So there's definitely a lot of anti-Olympic sentiment coming from the fact that the Games are costing us $6 billion, most of which is publicly funded. And in Victoria, we've had a year where there's been lots of organizing around local poverty issues. So we were able to just kind of work with that energy, and really it came together on its own just because there's so much outrage.
This marks a culmination of sorts because the torch was going to be focused on, and it started in your town, but it's also the beginning of continuing to raise these issues. So can you speak more about that ongoing campaign locally, but also more generally under the theme of No Olympics on Stolen Land?
Well, the torch is going on a 45,000 kilometer journey that's costing upwards of $50 million. And we know, we've heard that there's going to be different events, anti-torch relay events organized across the country. And I think that's because the same issues that resonate in Vancouver, that resonate in Victoria, around the appropriation of First Nations land and around the flawed treaty process and around kind of ongoing systemic poverty in First Nations communities, spreads across the country. It's not just limited to British Columbia. So I know that the security officials have stated that they're worried about certain communities, you know, such as Six Nations in Ontario, and I think that there's definitely going to be a lot of noise as the torch moves across the country. One thing about organizing the Olympics is that the issues that we're talking about are issues that began before the Olympics. You know, obviously, poverty, homelessness, access to health services for drug users, and you know, land restitution and colonization. Obviously, these issues predate the Olympics here in BC and as well as across Canada, and they're going to continue afterwards as well. So I think that it's kind of an interesting window for us to organize and for us to really raise some of the important issues that we're all working together with. But it's ongoing work, and it's not going to end after the Games in February.
Tamara Herman, member of No Olympics 2010 in Victoria, thank you for taking the time to speak with us on No One's Legal Radio.
Thank you.